The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I'll be reading from a slightly different translation from what you have in the bulletin. Paul writes, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. You are now an entire week and a half into the new semester. Not sure whether to congratulate you or to say I'll pray for you more, maybe both. You've become accustomed to your class schedule. You students have figured out the most important parts of college life, eating, sleeping. You've mapped out when you're going to be working on your long-term projects. You're getting into somewhat of a routine. Your day-to-day activities maybe really aren't changing that much. You're working your way into, or maybe are well into, the daily grind. Now, according to the source of all knowledge and information, aka the internet, that term, the daily grind, harkens back to Anglo-Saxon England, right after the fall of the Roman Empire. What was it that the people had to do every day in order to survive? Well, they had to grind their wheat so they could make flour, so that they could make bread. No grinding, no flour. No flour, no bread. No bread, no food. And so that term, the daily grind, came to represent something that you had to do over and over again, many times without much enjoyment. Now, I'm sure, whether you're a student or you work here, that your time at Bethany is not completely unenjoyable. But there are times when we can start to feel that way about our lives, specifically about our lives as Christians. What I mean is this, that as Christians, we're supposed to do good all the time, without fail, every day. In fact, that's what Paul tells us in this text, is do good until you die. Now, that might sound just a little bit ominous. But part of the reason Paul tells us to do good until we die is that perseverance does pay off in the long run. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Now, when you were young, your parents probably tried to encourage you to do certain things by holding out this promise of a reward. They would tell you that if you got your chores done, or you did something you promised you would do, or you got a certain grade in a class, that you'd have this reward waiting for you. But it was hard to wait for it, wasn't it? Even as we've grown out of childhood, we still have a hard time waiting for that promised reward that keeps us going, every day. Our attention spans are now measured in terms of seconds instead of minutes. We live in an age of instant gratification. I read a study just the other day that said that the attention span of the average American is now 8.2 seconds. The average attention span of a goldfish, by the way, is 9 seconds. So, when Paul holds out this promise of a harvest, of reward, if we continue doing good, that might not cut it. And so we slip into old habits, old sinful habits, because we figure we've got time. We've got time that we can repent. We allow ourselves to be seduced into going along with the crowd, even when that crowd of Christian friends knows better. And then we end up regretting our decision in the morning. Instead of watching out for ourselves, instead of helping each other avoid temptation and sin, we allow ourselves to indulge our flesh and do what feels good in the moment. Why do we slide into sin? And sometimes so often and sometimes so hard? Well, again, part of it is that we have a hard time seeing that reward, that harvest that's waiting for us. But it's also very tiring. It's tiring to fight against sin all the time, to always have our guard up, to be warding off the attacks of the devil and the world and our sinful flesh. That's the reality that Paul acknowledges in the text when he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good." To help others instead of helping them sin. To give of ourselves instead of giving someone a reason to dislike us. It's tiring. It's spiritually exhausting. Which means, again, we need to keep our mind on the end game. For at the proper time, Paul says, we will reap a harvest. This gives us the strength to keep doing good for others. You see, that harvest is what God gives us through faith in Jesus. That harvest, our forgiveness of sins, our eternal life, we have that right now through what Jesus has done for us, through his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his glorious resurrection. All of that is ours right now. But there will come a time when we have that final harvest, when sin is no longer getting in the way of us realizing that harvest, when, that is, we have the final harvest of getting to heaven. That's the message of all of Scripture. That's the message that Jesus has indeed given us life, true life. That's the message that keeps us on the right track, that keeps us doing good for others. That's the message that everybody needs to hear, especially our Christian friends, our Christian sisters and brothers. Paul says, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, that's not always easy, is it? I mean, let's face it. Yes, we're a family, but we're not a family without dysfunction. Think about it. Is it easy for you to do a favor for your spouse or your roommate, knowing that later in the day they're going to gripe at you for leaving your dirty clothes all over the floor? Is it enjoyable to work really hard on a project for a friend or for a classmate, knowing that the last time you did this, they didn't recognize your help? Is it enjoyable to receive constant criticism from a so-called brother or sister? No, it's not easy. And that's why Paul tells us to look at the big picture, to think in the long term instead of the short. And besides, when it gets down to it, we're not doing good in order to get something. We're not doing good to earn something. We're doing good because that's who we are. That's what we do as God's children, as his people. And notice how often we're to do good to all people. Paul says, as we have opportunity. Really, that's just another way of saying that as long as you're a living, breathing, still have a pulse person, do good for others. Stop thinking only about yourself and your own needs and figure out ways to take other people's interests into consideration. See how you can help others, someone else, not yourself. And when you start adopting that mindset, that way of thinking about the world and your purpose in it, then you will definitely find ways to help someone. It might be something fairly simple. It might be something a little more complicated, but there will never be a time in your life when there is someone who doesn't need your help. So instead of thinking about your day-to-day existence as a grind, think of it as yet-to-be-discovered opportunities. Think about what your Creator has done for you, that he has rescued you out of eternal death and given you eternal life, and let that joy spill over into all parts of your life. And when you do good for others, your joy will become their joy also. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have done the greatest good for us sinners by sending your Son to give us eternal life. Help us to see the opportunities to do good for others, and then help us to act when given the chance to do good. Fill us with the joy of knowing that the good works that we do for others, we actually do for you. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.